This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
1929. It'll get worse now because it'll go faster. Money markets will dry up round the world by the end of the week. ATMs will stop spitting bills. Federal deposit insurance will collapse. Banks will close. Mobs panic. It's going to be the end of the world, Bill.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, your source for insurrectionary inspiration for the new year.
You're all pretty much fucked.
I am your host, The Stimulator, and this is your
2010 Riot Roundup Report, Part 1.
On this edition, we focus on the motherfucking Canadian resistance. Peeps in my hometown of Vancouver set the tone for the year by keeping true to their promise.
Riot 2010.
The motherfucking resistance interrupted the Olympic spectacle with two successful disruptions of the torch relay, followed by a massive demonstration in downtown Van Shitty.
I want to also talk to you today about the supposed green game. Do you think the games are green?
No!
I don't think so. Green means money to the game. That's all they're about. What we really want to talk about here today is that every single thing that the Olympics is involved in, the corporate sponsors, the federal government, the provincial government, the Olympic infrastructure, all of it is destroying the environment.
On the opening day of the
Five Cock Rings of
Death, an action called the Heart Attack was unleashed on the cancerous corpse of the city with the intention of clogging the arteries of capitalism, i.e., block motherfucking traffic on the opening day of the games to wreak havoc on the corporate Trojan horse that was invading our joint. The cherry on top was a tent city that occupied one lot meant for future yuppie fattening pens, right smack in the heart of Van Shitty's downtown east side.
It doesn't take but a few dollars to help the poor people, but they put a lot of money into the Olympics, which is going to be a taxpayer's burden for how many years in this city?
One of the big issues that the motherfucking resistance brought to the forefront was the most destructive project on the planet. I call it
the motherfucking tar sands.
This colossal clusterfuck in northern Alberta is partly financed by the greedy crud scrapers of the Royal Bank of Canada. Because of this, a number of autonomous actions against the RBC branches and ATMs sent a clear message to the banking establishment, but the crowning deed was the firebombing of an RBC subsidiary in Ottawa. Three people were arrested and charged in connection to this incendiary act, but more on that after the break. In June, the puppet masters of the planet planned a party in the Canadian megalopolis of Toronto. The meetings of the G20 funneled over 1 billion loonies into a security apparatus that was supposed to intimidate any troublemaker who wished to piss on this capitalist parade.
Fail.
Yep, the motherfucking resistance held a week-long debauchery of dissent, unleashing a loud and uncompromising primal scream against the destructive policies that affect everyone around the motherfucking planet. The anti-G20 actions showed how diverse and inclusive the resistance is. Indigenous, queer, disabled, migrants, and freaks from all around the block bravely invaded the streets of TDOT in the face of a massive pig presence. This all culminated in the biggest embarrassment that Canadian law enforcement has ever experienced. Over 1,000 peeps sucker punched the protectors of the state and rampaged through three key areas of the city: Queen Street, Bay Street, and Yonge Street. It would be as if the Black Bloc spread their love all over Soho, Wall Street, and Times Square all in the same afternoon. Canada's biggest city was on fire, and people around the world tuned in and soaked the very real possibility of generalized revolt. Yep, in 2010, peeps in Canada found their strength, and realized that through mutual aid, uncompromising solidarity, and smart fucking organizing, the reality of the new world we want to see is not in the future, but right fucking now.
Don't you know, you're talking about a revolution that sounds don't you know, you're talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, they're talking about a revolution. It sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run. Finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh, no.
The word anarchist has been in the news a whole lot lately.
Italian police say a known anarchist group, the FAI, claimed responsibility for two parcel bombs.
Police have released photographs of the two Greek suspects. One is thought to belong to a Greek anarchist group.
Julian Assange calls himself a journalist and a whistleblower whose only interest is in transparency.
It's nonsense. He's an anarchist.
As if that was a bad fucking thing. In Europe, anarchists have stepped up their revolutionary tactics to include mail bombs targeting heads of states and embassy buildings. But in Canada, prior to the G20, the corporate controllers of the minds of Canadians were quick to label the firebombing of the RBC branch in Ottawa as an act of anarchy.
From the burned-out shell of an Ottawa bank in a quiet family neighborhood come loud cries of condemnation against the self-proclaimed anarchists who blew it up.
A communique was issued following the bombing explaining the motivations for the act of economic sabotage. The communique outlined the RBC's role
in the motherfucking tar sand
and the
five cock rings of death,
and how the RBC furthers the mechanisms of capitalism, colonization, and environmental destruction. But nowhere in the fucking document was the word anarchist used. Don't get me wrong, if the deed indeed was done by anarchists, well, hell fucking yeah. But you gotta watch these tricky corporate motherfuckers. As they have done in the past, they can induce witch hunts against groups of people that threaten their dominance. But I digress. Three people were arrested in connection with the firebombing: Roger Clement, Claude Harridge, and Matthew Morgan Brown. To find out more about the case of the RBC bombing, and in a It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine Triple Cheeseburger Worldwide exclusive, I bring you Matthew Morgan Brown. Hey Matt, how the fuck are you?
All right.
So, what were you and your comrades arrested for and charged with?
Me and Roger were both charged with arson. Claude was not charged with arson. A lot of people in the community had talked about what they thought might happen, and I was definitely one of the people who thought that if there was going to be any arrests, it was going to happen right before the G8 and G20, which is what proved, in fact, to happen. They arrested us on June 18th, which is just when the People's Assembly was starting in Toronto. So, right when that was happening, the big story was anarchist terrorists arrested in Ottawa for firebombing the RBC, even though Claude was eventually never charged with an arson, and the charges against me were withdrawn for lack of evidence. Roger did eventually plead guilty.
Roger pled guilty. Can you give us an update on his case and what can people do to support him?
My understanding of Roger's reasons for pleading guilty was that there was an overwhelming amount of evidence connecting him with the arson. He chose to plead guilty in order to save the court's time, in order to take responsibilities for his actions. Roger pled guilty to one count of arson and one count of mischief over $5,000 for two separate actions. He never gave anybody up. We want to make sure that people keep Roger in their hearts and minds. They can write to him.
We've seen a lot of infiltrator activity in the movement as of late. Did the work of infiltrators affect your case?
There were statements made during the bail hearing where there was proof that there was a guy who called himself François Leclerc, who I knew, I organized with. He was part of a group that I'm involved with, the Indigenous People Solidarity Movement of Ottawa. He was around a lot. He was asking a lot of questions after the firebombing happened, attempting to entrap us, attempting to do whatever. He'd talked to a lot of people, and he was clearly, I mean, we were suspicious. I was suspicious. A lot of us were suspicious about him before that. And became more so afterwards. He never got anything.
The media attacked the RBC firebombing as an act by anarchists, but nowhere in the communique was there any mention of anarchism. Are you or any of your co-accused anarchists?
Yeah, as far as I know, there's no evidence that the people who wrote the communique or who did the action were anarchists. The one person who pled guilty is a communist. I'm an anarchist, but they like I said, they dropped my charges for lack of evidence. And the other person who was arrested, as far as I know, doesn't subscribe to any specific political philosophy. There was definitely an attempt to demonize anarchists in the media, to call anarchist terrorists, to call this, you know, that this was, I mean, the communique was clear about the reasons for it, and the action itself was clearly targeted property destruction that was intended to cause damage, to cause economic damage to the Royal Bank. This was said in Roger's sentencing. He made great efforts to ensure that nobody was hurt during the action. So the equation of the firebombing with terrorism and then with anarchism is really problematic.
What kind of activism were you doing before this whole fucking mess?
We do a lot of support with the Algonquin community of Barrier Lake. And we've done a bunch of stuff around missing and murdered Indigenous women. It's over 582. Probably heard the number before. And we've done support work with the Arctic Algonquin. We do a lot. We do a lot of different things.
And what the fuck are you going to do now?
Well, I'm back at work. I managed to keep my job through it all, which is nice. Thank you, QP1281. It's my local. I'm gonna work. I'm back organizing with the IPSM, and I'm organizing with Ottawa Movement Defense, which is the group that's there to support the June 18th defendants. Well, at this point, supporting Roger and Claude, and I'd like to find a way to connect both of the things, both the work, the Indigenous solidarity work I'm doing, and the June 18th support, with connecting that with broader support for political prisoners and support for prisoners more generally.
Thanks, Matt. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. Many thanks to those who sacrificed their new eye poop so that I can continue rabble-rousing. Steven, Samantha, James, Nick, Drew, Zachary, Matthew, Laura, Garcon, Sandra, Savitri, Carlos, Peter, Will, Heather, Corrine, Carol, Jesse, Margaret, and Joseph Romayo. I also want to let you motherfuckers know that the NSIF tour is set to kick off this week, so go to nsif.com for tour details. And stay tuned to Stimulator.tv for part 2 of our special report, Riot 2010. Happy motherfucking New Year, suckers.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.